Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus said, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. This is our text. Today, the gospel reading in many of our sister congregations is the appearance of Jesus to doubting Thomas. You remember the story when Thomas sees the scars from the nails and the spear that pierced Jesus. He finally believes the resurrection. This living man standing before him, Thomas confesses, is my Lord and my God. And our Lord responds, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, even though we haven't seen him, we do believe that on the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. And so Jesus proclaims us to be blessed. And we also believe that after being crucified and before rising, he descended into hell alive as a man. And so today, a week after Easter, we take a step back, and here at our Savior, we celebrate our Lord's descent into hell. By descending into hell victorious and triumphant, Jesus shows us that he is the stronger man than the strong man Satan, and he claims us as his own. Which raises the question of who exactly is Satan? Saint Peter calls the devil our adversary, our enemy. The devil, he says, prowls around like a roaring, ravenous lion, just waiting to devour anyone, whoever he can sink his claws and his teeth into. He's the leader of the fallen angels who didn't stay within their own position of authority, but rebelled against Almighty God, and so left the place where they properly belonged. We know that in the beginning, God created the angels to be ministering spirits sent out to serve humanity, but the rebellion of these fallen angels set them at odds with God and with God's creation and with the crown of God's creation, man and woman. The devil has no sympathy, he has no love, he has no friendship for Adam and Eve, not even when they sin. And he has no sympathy, no love, and no friendship for you either, not even when you sin. No, our sin does nothing but fill Satan with glee, and he has a wicked pleasure when he sees us fall. But from the moment that our Lord steps back onto the scene, from the moment when the Lord God comes into the Garden of Eden and finds Adam and Eve in hiding, that is the beginning of enmity, of hatred, and of hostility between the devil and Adam and Eve. When the devil claims to be on your side, just remember this: he's more crafty than any other creature. And as it says in Proverbs, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. We know who the devil is. He flatters, he sweet talks, he lies, he deceives, he tempts. But he was a murderer from the beginning, Jesus says, and has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is the father of lies and a liar. Now, Satan is a title that means accuser, and so he is. He is not just an accuser, as other human beings may be from time to time, but he is the accuser. He is the greatest enemy of humankind, and he is our accuser, and the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them and us day and night before our God. And let that remind us exactly whose side we're on whenever we make accusations, even if the accusations may be true. And of what does the devil accuse us? He accuses us of being disloyal to God. He accuses us of being fickle. He accuses us of being rebellious and self-serving and faithless and full of sin. And what can we possibly say in response? What weapons do you and I have to fight against these accusations of the devil? And when we look at it, disloyalty, fickleness, rebelliousness, self-serving, faithless, and full of sin, when we hear those accusations, we have to say that he's right, don't we? After all, God's law says the very same thing about us. And so when we hear the devil and his accusations, they stick to us like poisonous arrows, precisely because they're true. And that's how he gets his foot on our throats and wraps his deadly chain around our necks. And that's how he's got us. With these accusations, Satan holds us in thrall. And that's why the scriptures call him the power of darkness and the ruler of this world and the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We are all conceived and born sinful, and so under the power of the devil. And this is what Jesus means when he calls the devil a strong man, a tyrant and dictator. He's not saying that the devil is the rightful and lawful ruler of this world. This world doesn't actually belong to him, but Jesus is pointing out that the devil, as a strong man, does rule the world, and he rules it by force and with coercion, using every weapon at his disposal, anything he can find to keep us enslaved and beaten down and subject to him. And you and I both know the devil is absolutely brutal, and he is terribly efficient. And he demands total submission. To him, lives mean nothing, but he counts his treasure in souls. So Satan is the strong man of the spiritual world, and he is fully armed with a whole host of accusations to throw against us, and he guards his own palace, and his goods are safe, and we are his goods. We were his possessions, and he would make us believe that we still are. And we would be Satan's goods, and we would be Satan's possessions still, except that one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him. The devil is our enemy, but Jesus is a friend of sinners. And he takes no pleasure in our sin. He has no delight in our suffering or death. But he loves to be our Savior. And although he is greater than the devil, the demons, and all the angels as the Son of God, our Lord entered his creation, and he put on our flesh, and he came as a man to save us. As a man with authority and power, with the authority and power of God over the spiritual realm. He came as a man. And as a man, he was the light of the world that casts out the darkness. He commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. He cast out a demon that was mute, and the mute man spoke, and the people all marveled. Well, some of them said that he did it by Beelzebul. He did it by the prince of demons, they said, meaning Satan himself. And some of the others wanted him to prove it by a sign. Show us by whose power you do these things. Oh, he would give them a sign, the sign of Jonah, the preaching of repentance, death, and resurrection on the third day. But what Jesus is doing when he casts out these demons is absolutely clear. There can be no doubt what it means. Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, he says, and a divided household falls. And if Satan is divided against himself, how in the world will his kingdom stand? But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, Jesus declares, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He came, the woman's seed. He came to bruise the accuser's head just as God promised so long ago to Adam and Eve. He came to bruise the serpent's head, even though it would mean that his heel would be struck and bruised as well. But how would our Lord do this? He did it by taking on himself the sin of the world. When he came in the flesh, he waved his arms and he got Satan's attention and he said, "Hey, devil, come get me. Why don't you pick on someone your own size?" And the devil turned all his firepower against our Lord. Every accusation the devil could find, every sin that had ever been committed, he threw it against Jesus. He spent all the ammo he had, every last round, piercing our Lord, and our Lord has the wounds to prove it. His body was riddled with the accusations that belong to us. He was cut down in our place. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, while we were still under the power of the devil and in Satan's kingdom, Christ died for us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And that's how our Lord set us free from the power of the devil. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads, and Satan would still hang over our heads. And he has completely annulled it. He has completely made those accusations nothing by nailing it over his own head on the cross. And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers ranged against us, he exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated. The truth is that it's all been paid. That's the lie the devil would have us believe, that Christ has not paid for your sins, that the accusations will still stick to you, but he's lying. It's all been paid. Your sins have all been forgiven. The accusations have all pierced Christ, and the devil's weapons have been taken away. They are nothing. And our Lord did all of this, not through a show of force, but by showing mercy and love for sinners. With a spike driven in his heels, Jesus attacks and overcomes the devil. He takes away the armor in which the devil trusted, and he divides his spoil. Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, behold the stronger man, and you are the spoils of his victory. Put to death by the flesh, Jesus was made alive by the Spirit, and he drove the final nail into the devil's coffin, for he went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison. He descended into hell, victorious and triumphant, and he said, "Hell is the place of punishment for you and yours, Satan, but it's no place for my people. Roar and rage, tempt and threaten. You're just a noisy gong. You're a clanging cymbal. You have no love. And you can't scare those whose sins are forgiven. They've already been buried with me by baptism into death. I have set them free from sin. Already their lives are hidden with me in God until they appear with me in glory. And look, Satan," he says, "this is my body given for them, and this is my blood shed for them. And what do you say to that?" Jesus triumphed over the devil, and he ripped the hinges right off hell's gates for us, and Satan just stands there spluttering and speechless, crushed and disarmed. And so God delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. His beloved Son, that man who was born in humility, who lived in lowliness, suffering, and contempt, who died accursed and in shame, but who now is exalted, With the descent into hell, our Lord's triumph begins in full. Now the gates of hell shall never prevail against him or against his church. Now the accuser has been thrown down, who accuses us and our brothers day and night. And just as Jesus descended into hell and is risen from the dead, so now he is risen in you. And you cannot be conquered by Satan, for Satan's conqueror lives in you. And having sent the unclean spirit packing, having shipped out the devil, Jesus didn't leave us to be empty dwellings. No, he lives in us, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and our bodies are his temple. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, Jesus says, for my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And now when the devil comes, we have absolutely nothing to fear. The stronger man, Jesus, meets the strong man at the door. He shows him his wounds, all those pricks from the accusations the devil would throw, and he says, "Depart, you unclean spirit. Go to hell and never come back, because I'm the master of this house now. I'm the Lord of this soul. This one belongs to me." Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.